It's an essential part of world evangelism. And you see, that's why we were learning yesterday that the male, the male and the female have to be together in that Christ that's in you, because the spirit is incomplete if you believe that the woman was taken out of the man. And like I said, we have all believed it. We've all believed it. And I tried to kid myself that I didn't. I didn't believe it. Why? Because for 10 years I've preached it. I've said that woman was never taken out of Adam. I preached that everywhere I have gone. But about 2 months ago, I had to confess to the Lord, I did believe the woman was taken out of the man. Why? Because, you see, my head believed that the woman was not taken out of the man, but in my consciousness, I believed he was. In other words, that he had taken the woman out. My consciousness did not agree with the truth. And it's an amazing thing. In my knowledge, I knew that it could not be, but I was not conscious of that truth. I was not conscious of it. And I had to admit to God, I must have believed, because I saw my wife out there. And I never had ever gone up to her and said, who are you? Where have you come from? You know? No, she's my wife. We've had 59 years of marriage. And I've looked at my wife a million times, never ever said, where did you come from? Why? God never created a woman. Well, where did you come from? I believe that she was taken out of me, or the woman was taken out of me. It's just in the sense of our wife today. But see, when I put her back where she belonged, our relationship stepped up onto a higher level. And I'm trusting that all of you people here, when you have understood this, and it may take you some days, maybe take some weeks, for you to get and understand this in your consciousness, in your heart, to know that the male and the female must be together in the spirit, because spirit is male and female functioning together as one. And as I said, let me remind you again that in marriage, for this cause a man would leave his father and mother and would cleave to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. And that's the best you can get out of your marriage. That's the best. But you're still two separate people. You're still two separate people. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's the difference. My wife and I are one now. One spirit. And we're no longer one flesh. It's an amazing change. And I am believing that God is going to do for you what he's done for me. And because it's been my experience, I can talk about it. And I couldn't do that until it became my experience. That's why it's taken so long. All right, so then Abraham, in Abraham he said, I'm going to bless you, the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. How can that happen? Can that happen for us? Of course. But it can only happen for us when we birth the Christ, as we are supposed to do, as the first man did in Genesis 2 verse 7. He was told, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But there's one more thing. If you turn to James chapter 1, over in the New Testament there, James chapter 1, verse 18, he says, of his own will God begat us. That we might be a kind of first fruits. Remember, the first fruits were that involved the first of the grain that became mature in the harvest. And God said, just pick a few of those stalks before the rest of the harvest is mature. There'll be a few stalks that will be mature. Pick a few of those, bring them into the temple and wave them before the Lord. And this is the what that represents. It means that what these grains are here now, complete, mature grains, all of the harvest, the entire harvest will be as they are. Isn't that amazing? And I want to tell you, we're talking about the harvest of the world. God's harvest in this entire world. The whole harvest of mankind on this earth will be as the first fruit. And who's that? That's Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's Christ. See, I, you know, why is this not preached more? Why do we not really understand this? Why? Because somehow we had it in our mind, you know, that really God's just picking out a few people here and there and so on, and we're all going to go to heaven. And, you know, what's happened to the rest? Well, I don't know, but, you know, there's just going to be a bunch of us up there. Now, I want to tell you, there's no heaven anyway. You can't go to heaven because it's not a geographic location at all. As a matter of fact, if you put your hand out there, you've already touched heaven, if you could see it, because the spirit world is right here. You don't have to go up in the sky to see it. The spirit world is everywhere. But we cannot see it with our natural eyes, but God's going to open our eyes to see it by the Spirit. So it says here that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So God is wanting us to birth the Christ, not just to have children. Well, we are going to birth the Christ because the people that God is looking for are truly the sons of God. You see, my wife and I, we could not birth the sons of God. In fact, nobody can birth the sons of God. In fact, I'm going to tell you, none of you people have ever been born on this earth. None of you. Why? Your body was born on this earth. Your body was born here through your mother's womb, but the spirit which is you, see, I said you, the spirit which is you, could not be born on this earth. It must come from God. And this is John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 3. Except a man, a person, be born from above. You remember that?
Yeah.
Our Bible says born again. You need to take that out in your Bible, take it out, and write down there, from above, because that is the correct Greek. And it changes the whole sense of it. And if you're interested at all, in the book of Mark there, in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it says, and the temple and the veil in the temple was rent from the top. It's the same Greek word from above. There was no man that tore that curtain. It was God. It was from above. So your birthing has to be from above. And your birthing was from above. Because when we understand it now, you see, your body was formed in your mother's womb, but that wasn't the end of the story. When I'm telling this, ministering this, I usually use my life as an illustration, so I'm going to do it today. I'm just one of those people that, I like to make things clear if I can. You see, you and I, we were all in God before we were born on this earth. We were in God.
Amen.
So, one day God says to me, I'm going to send you down to the earth. This is just a parable. This is not in the Bible. This is a parable with me, you see. So I say, well, Lord, what's the idea? I mean, why do you want me to go down there? Well, because I have many things that I want to do. And you see, in order to do what I want to do, I need a body. Oh, I see. So I'm going to send you down there. So I said, okay. I mean, what could I say? You know, I couldn't say, well, no, thank you. I think I'll give that one a pass, you know. No. So, this is the parable. I'm looking down there, and I see in Queensland, North Queensland, there's a woman down there. Now, I don't know anything about her. I don't know what her name is. I know nothing about her whatsoever, except that I'm looking, and I seem to be able to see that she's pregnant. And so, I didn't know what that meant either. But the day came when Father said, okay, now's the time. And into that womb of that woman, in that little fetus, Father dropped a spirit. That was me. And I was born a little while later. There's Walter. There I am on the earth. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, you can turn to it if you like, just so that you'll be familiar with it. John chapter 14. And he said, I'm going to pray, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, I'll ask the question. Where is the place that he prepared for us? Well, many people said, that's heaven. He's gone up there to set it all up and fix it up and get it ready for us. I don't think so. He had no intention of taking us to heaven off the earth. There's too much to do down here. And we're the only ones that can do it down here. So, where was the place? It was in my mother's womb he prepared the place. In your mother's womb, he prepared a place for you. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
You are the spirit in that body that he prepared for himself. And today, here we are. We are the only means of expression that Christ has on this earth. He has no other way in which he can function apart from using our body. You know, when you think about that, you realize just how much we have robbed God, how much we have failed to cooperate with him to do what he wants to do. Your life from morning till night, and from night to morning, and for the whole of your life must be given over to the Christ to do whatever he wants to do. And if we do not do that, we are robbing him. And not just robbing him, but we are robbing so many other people that could have been blessed if we'd been available. And that's what started me when I began to really know the Lord. He proved his love to me, and I became so in love with him that I said, Lord, I will do anything for you. I'll go anywhere you send me, even to the ends of the earth. Because I didn't think he was listening. But he has. And, you know, I mean, I've been in some places where the tourists never go. You know, my daughter, my eldest daughter and her husband have done a lot of traveling in the world. And, of course, they travel first class. They travel in five-star hotels. So they asked me when I come back, you know, where did you stay when you were in Africa? I said, well, there was a little house there. You know, it only had a couple of rooms, and they had a bed there was just a few boards, you know, and it had a sheet on it, and that's my bed. Oh, I said, I don't think I'd like that. No, I said, I'm sure you wouldn't. But I says, you know, it's great. Because I'm there with the people and they're happy and they rejoice to see me there and happy that I would come into their home. They were so happy because they probably had a few people that said no thanks, I'll go to one of the bigger hotels somewhere. But you see, when we truly love the Lord, we become the vessel in the hand of God. That's what we need to understand. And there's no other way. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, God, there's plenty of other people, you know, use them. Listen, we're all going to have to be involved in this. Everybody. And this is the problem today. The church has really limited the availability of people to do the will of God. Because the church has limited it to mainly to the pastors, to the ministries. They're the ones that are supposed to get out there and save the lost. They're the ones that pray for people. They're the ones that are supposed to heal you if you're sick and so on. But the people, you come to sit. You sit and listen, you go home. And that's the end of the story. And we've got to change this. I'm just believing that these couple of days are going to bring such a change into your heart and your understanding that you will never be the same again. I want you to get a vision also of these bones out there. Because you have to know they are not the lost. Well, we're going to go back there. I just want to finish this. This is Ezekiel 37. Let's go back just to finish this a little bit. Ezekiel.
Dan, are you able to see okay, or would you like me to turn the light on? Would you like me to turn the light on so you can see?
Oh, no, I'll take a light, thanks. Yeah, there's still enough light here. Thank you. Okay, chapter 37. Gotcha. And it says, the breath came into them and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, a mighty army. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for that mighty army. And that's going to march across the land. And I believe that this whole world is going to come under the authority of the King. And he said unto me, verse 11, Son of man, these bones, what we call the lost, are the whole house of Israel. That is the Israel of God, not the Jews.
Yeah.
It's the Israel of God.
Yeah.
That means that those people out there constitute the very people that God has come to redeem. These are the people for whom Christ has died. These are the people that God has called us to become concerned, that is teaching us about the Spirit and how the Spirit functions, and the fact that now we can birth the Christ out of ourselves. We don't need anybody to help us, and we are complete in Him, absolutely.
Amen.
So, you see, there's a whole lot hanging on this. I am really believing that this weekend, or this weekend, these couple of days are going to be a changing time for us.
Yes,
and myself included. Mm-hmm. And already, what I've been sharing with you has already had an impact upon my life. And I live day by day to be available to the Lord. You know, and somebody says they want to talk to me, hey, I'm here. I'll talk to you. And if need be, there was a couple in Indonesia that were getting married, and there was nobody that were counseling them, nobody at all. And I said, look, I'll make time before I leave here. I said, I'll make time to sit with you, and we're going to talk about getting married and, you know, the issues involved and so on. And, you know, I got so busy. There were so many things and so many people that wanted help. It's about 11 o'clock at night, and I'm dead beat. And this couple just walked up to me and said, are we going to have time? I said, yes, let's go. Well, we got to bed later that morning, you know. But see, we have to be available.
Yeah.
We have to be available. Because, listen, we're all in this thing. And when you see evangelism from the Spirit point of view, there's nothing that you cannot do. You can prophesy. Every one of you can prophesy. Every one of you. And those bones out there, we have the vision. They are the house of Israel. And therefore they must join up with these bones here, because there's only one body of Christ.
Yeah.
Only one. And listen to what it says. Behold, they say, these are the bones talking to you now. It says here, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. You hear this? This is the bones talking to you today. It says here, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. And we've been separated from the ones that we should be joined to.
Yeah.
Oh God, help us today.
Yeah.
What a challenge. What a challenge. They are part of us, and we have to make them a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do it by going out and preaching to them. We're not going to do it by some form of evangelism. We're going to do it by the Spirit of God. As we start to prophesy over these bones out there. And you drive your motor cars every day. You see thousands of people every day. Prophesy. Start to speak to the bones. And then believe and watch the bones come together. It's not going to happen the way we intended, is it, brother?
No.
It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm not preaching at you. I'm not standing here and saying, I've done it right. No. First 40 years of my life, you know, wasn't wasted, because I think God was teaching me a lot of things, but, boy, it took a long time. I was a slow learner. But you see, now we understand the story. Would to God I'd learned this 40 years ago. That would have made a difference. But we're just learning it now.
Yeah.
But beloved, you know, it's from this day when God has revealed to you our responsibility, first of all, to birth the Christ. Because until you birth the Christ, you're not going to birth the Christ in anybody else.
Yeah.
But when you birth the Christ, you are bringing all of mankind for this generation to the Christ.
Yeah.
You're bringing them all in.
Thank you.
Mary birthed the Christ for her generation. But we are responsible to birth the Christ for our generation. See? And so God said to Israel many years ago, back there in Isaiah chapter 9, He said, "For unto us a son, a child is born, and that child was us. Unto us a son was given." That's the Christ that's in us. "And the government is upon His shoulder."
Yeah.
You see. He only needs one shoulder. He can carry it on His one shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
We might need two, but He only needs one. And He is the King of the whole earth. He's the King. Okay, so it says here, verse 12, look at this. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people."
Yes.
See, He's talking to His people. God is saying to you, do you realize you are the children of God? "Oh yes, Lord, we realize we are the children of God." Well, I'm telling you, they are the children of God out there too.
Yeah.
You see? They're all the children of God. He says, "Say unto the people, behold, O my people, I will open your graves."
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're dead in trespasses and in sin. We're not talking about the cemetery. We're talking about those that are dead in trespasses and in sin. You see, death in God's estimation, rather, from God's point of view, death has nothing to do with the cemetery. Nothing at all. When God speaks about death, He's speaking about a broken relationship with God, or no relationship with God. You're dead. Because that's the only source of life in the universe.
Amen.
That's all there is.
Amen.
So if you don't have a relationship with Him, then that life will not flow. "I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up out of your graves, and I will bring you into the promised land." That's where we should be now. But many of us haven't yet entered into the promised land yet. That's your body. Because you see, God gave you that body. Not just for you. He gave you the body so that you could give it back to Him. You realize that there is absolutely nothing that you can give to God that you didn't receive from Him.
Amen.
And you remember that Abraham said he wanted a son. He wanted an heir. And so when that son and heir was born, when Isaac was actually born, what did God say? "Now, I want you to take that boy, and I want you to take him down this way and go up on top of the mountain, and I want you to offer him there to me." What was that all about? Oh, a picture of Calvary. Yes, yes, yeah, that's quite okay. I'm sure it was. It was a picture of Calvary. But it was more than that. God wanted to know whether Abraham understood who that boy belonged to. Because he was the Christ. Who did he belong to? Did he belong to Abraham? No. Abraham could never have had that child had it not been for God. He's got a wife, 90 years of age, never had a child, and never could conceive. And now she's birthed this child. He could have said, Lord, I'm not going to take him, make an offering out of him. But see, that's all he had to give. That was God's gift to him. So he took the gift and he put it on the altar. Your body is God's gift to you.
Amen.
And that's all you have to give back to him.
Amen.
So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And verse 1. And he says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because your body is the body of the Christ. It's the body of the Christ. Does it belong to you? No, sir. It belongs to him. He said, now I want you to build an altar. This is true worship. You cannot worship without an altar, and you cannot worship without a gift, a sacrifice. You must have a sacrifice. And all you can give to God is only what God has given to you. That's your body. So you lay on that altar. This is your gift to God. This is your giving back to God what he has given to you. Abraham, take your son up on the mountain. And on the way up, the son says to him, Father, you've got the wood. You've got the fire. You've got the knife in your pocket there. You've got everything. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abram said, God will provide himself. He'll provide himself, which he did. And the son agreed. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, the father said to him, I want you to take your humanity into death. And if you will do that, you will taste death for every man. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Let somebody else do this. But there wasn't anybody. So he said, okay, I'll do it. And he did. And he did. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. This is your ultimate worship. And many of God's people have never done that. This has not ever been the symbol of true worship that God has looked for in our lives. Because until you give him your body, you have not returned back to him the thing that he's given to you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, in Israel's history, all the sacrifices were dead. They couldn't be a sacrifice until they were dead. But God said, I'm sick and tired of dead sacrifices. I want a living sacrifice now. What does it mean? It means that the sacrifice is your entire life. You give him your body, not just for the day, not just on Sundays when you maybe go to church or whatever, but every day you get up. Father, this is your day. This is your body. What do you want me to do? We are responsible to be the body through which he can function. And he says here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your mind. When you put the woman back inside and understand that you are spirit, which is male and female, functioning together as one, then you have come to the place where the Christ begins to rule and reign in you. Until that is taken place, the Christ is not capable, or not the right word, the Christ is not able, shall we say, to become the Lord of your life, because it doesn't belong to him. And he is very kind, he's very gracious, he's very loving, and he will not take from you what you will not give to him. So we present our bodies a living sacrifice, and our mind is being renewed, because now the Spirit is Lord. When the Spirit is Lord, the veil is removed. And when the veil is removed, then Christ becomes Lord over all of our being. And then our walk begins to change. And as I said, when we birth the Christ, then the millions of people that are out there are going to be, they're going to be brought in to the Christ, because they are in that Christ. And when we birth him, we are birthing them into the kingdom of God. I don't just mean because we birth the Christ that they're automatically, you know, they're okay, they're saved, they're going to heaven or whatever you want. No. But we are bringing them into the place where that is going to be the next step. And then we can birth the Christ in people. That's what Paul did. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. And what did he say to the church in Galatia? Do I have to travel again until Christ is formed in you? But you have to form the Christ in here first. Then the Christ is being formed in others. But the people out there, the dry bones, will begin to respond to God, I believe, when we birth that Christ. There will be a movement out there. I believe we're on the edge of a revival. I just use the word revival, not as in the church concept, but I believe that there will be a turning toward God. This world is in such a mess that there are many people today that are really looking for answers. They're looking for answers. So I don't know. I happen to believe that God is probably allowing that to happen so that people will begin to look for another answer, and that answer is in Christ. So today, beloved, God is giving us a new program, in a sense, a new way by which we're going to see the kingdom established. And there probably will be many more things that he will reveal to us. But just for the start, this is where it's going to begin. We're going to look at the world out there with a different kind of concept. We're not going to see them as the lost. We're going to see them as the house of Israel. So may God bless you today and encourage you, and cause you to become that vessel in his hand to do the will of God. Amen.